Today is the 25th of April, 2015. You've joined us for the morning service of the Weatherby House Church. And we are having our worship service today on Saturday. I want to entitled this message this morning, which may be a little startling to our sermon audio and Facebook listeners. Who is my brother or sister in Christ, and who is not my brother and sister in Christ? So we're asking the question, who is, and we're asking who is not. And we're going to be taking some of our message this morning from both the first, third, and fourth and fifth chapters of Galatians. But that's something we need to ask ourselves, don't you think? Is who do we consider to be our brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it everybody out there that says that I love Jesus? Are they your brother and sister in Christ just because they say I love Jesus? There's a lot of different Jesuses out there. There's the Jesus of the Mormons. There's the Jesus of the Latter-day Saints. There's the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's the Jesus of the Saddleback Church. There's the Jesus of the Billy Graham Association. There's the Jesus of the Crystal Cathedral. There's the that's Catholic now, I'm sorry. There's the there's the Jesus of the Roman Catholics. There's the Jesus of the there's lots of Jesuses. So who do you consider to be your brother and sister in Christ, and who do you consider not to be your brother and sister in Christ? Here's a little something to think about. My brother and sister in Christ are those who uphold the doctrines taught in the Bible, including election and predestination. Well, that eliminates a lot of people right there. My brother and sister in Christ are those who will give all the glory to God in their salvation and deny the satanic doctrine of free will. Well, that eliminates a lot of other people, doesn't it? My brother and sister in Christ are one who believes in the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ultimate return of Christ, Jesus Christ. My brother and sister in Christ is one who confesses that they've been born again by the Spirit of God. You don't have to know Jesus to get to heaven, they say. And also, my brother and sister in Christ is one who will take a stand against the false doctrines that come against the clearly revealed Scripture. Okay, now, you say, well, how is that any different if you go through your process of negation on who are not your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, I'll tell you who's not my brother and sister in Christ. One who teaches and upholds another gospel. Other than by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Okay, that's not my brother and sister in Christ that's preaching another gospel. One who subscribes to and upholds that man has a free will. That's not my brother and sister in Christ. That's a denial of total depravity. It's denial of unconditional election. It's putting man on the throne. Another person that is not my brother and sister in Christ, who one who embraces Arminians and Roman Catholics as fellow believers. You say, well, I don't subscribe to their doctrine, but I still think they're Christian. No. You cannot You cannot subscribe to Arminians and Catholics as fellow believers and be one yourself. Be a true believer yourself. One who's involved in ecumenical activities with Arminians and Roman Catholics. That's right. You cannot be joined to a harlot and say you're one of Christ's. One who subscribes to and embraces any false doctrine contrary to Scripture and continues to do so even after having been shown through God's Word that they are in error. Now, I thought Tim Phillips made a good point this morning with me on a couple things. He says, hey, I used to be an Arminian. Well, I did too. So we had to, I thanked him for the clarification because I said, I need to clarify, yea, after having been shown through God's Word that you're in error if you continue to hold on to it. If you're an elect child of God and you happen to be an Arminian and you haven't been showed the truth and you've been around deceivers all your life like I was for 37 years, but I'm talking about people that I know for a fact I have shown God's word to and they have rejected and rebelled against it and they continue in their error and they want to uphold and teach the error and subscribe to other people who are doing it. That's not my brother or sister in Christ. That's what do you think Galatians says if there comes unto you preaching someone preaching another gospel, let him be anathema? What does that mean? Now another thing, good thing that Tim pointed out to me, which he said he had disagreed with me on, which I agree with him on, and so I made a little change in my thing. I said one who teaches and upholds all doctrines taught in the Bible, including election and predestination, are my brothers in Christ. And he said, you know, there was a, he says, I still don't consider myself to be, have the ability to teach and uphold all doctrines taught in the Bible. I can uphold and uphold them, but I don't think I'm qualified to teach them. So I took that out. One who I took out the teaching part. One who upholds all doctrines taught in the Bible, including election and predestination. Not all are teachers. Not all are teachers. And then, of course, also, those who are not my brothers and sisters in Christ are one who denies election and predestination. Clearly taught in the Scriptures. They're not my brother and sister in Christ. If they say, hey, I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe in the ultimate return of Jesus Christ. I've been baptized. I confess my sins and so on. But that election and predestination is the most damnable doctrine I've ever heard of. They're not my brother and sister in Christ. They're denying the Word of God. Okay, and a person's not my brother and sister in Christ who denies the death, burial, resurrection, and ultimate return of Jesus Christ. Now, most people out there have been so programmed in the Arminian movement that the only gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. But yet they want to deny, they want to subscribe to the doctrine of free will. They want to be in the same camp and call Roman Catholics Christians and Arminians Christians and subscribe to all of those errors that we've already alluded to. And they want to shake their fist in the face of God's sovereign grace. Those are not my brothers and sisters in Christ. So that gives you a little outline. Do we have a selection this morning? Okay, we do. Page 314 in the old school hymnal. 314. This is called Hail Sovereign Love. That's what we're talking about. Sovereignty. God's sovereignty and salvation. Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen men. Hail,
back.
matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place.
Against
Against the
God
that
that
rules the
rules the sky,
I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus eternal counsel ran, Almighty love arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, as the Holy Spirit drew near. He led me on with gentle pace, to Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of thundering vengeance roll, and shake the earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall doubt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place. Okay, another selection is Psalm 40, page 38. Psalm 40, F, page 38. I hid not in my heart your truth and saving help. Your faithfulness I preached in the assembly great. You'll not withhold from me your tender mercies, Lord, and your unfailing love will ever keep me safe. Misfortunes beyond count have taken hold of me, my sins close in on me, so that I cannot see. In greater sum are they than hairs upon my head. So my heart fails in me, my courage fades away. Come to my rescue, Lord. O Lord, make haste to help. Let all who seek my life be shamed and be confused. Let them fall back in shame who want to see my hurt. Let them be dumb who fear, ah, 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 to me. Let all who seek you be glad and in you joy. To your salvation, love, say glory to the Lord. Though I'm in want and poor, the Lord takes thought of me. My help, my Savior comes. Oh God, do not delay. Okay, we're going to end this part of the service this morning with the page 94, Psalm 147a, in the back of your hymnals, Psalm 47a. We're going to look at that and take a look at it and see if we can remember that song. I think we probably can. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to through our God to sing. For it is pleasant and to praise, it is a comely thing. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, brings back her captive sons. He binds up all their wounds and heals the broken-hearted ones.
He counts the number of the stars. He names them every one. Our Lord is great and great in power. His wisdom search can none. The Lord upholds the meek and brings the wicked to the ground. With thanks, oh, praise the Lord our God. With harps his praises sound. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who forms the earth below, prepareth rain, who maketh grass upon the mountains grow. He cares for the beasts that roam the field and does their food supply. He watches o'er the ravens young and feeds them when they cry. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this service this morning. We pray that your word would be open to us. May your name and the glory of God be exalted in all that's said. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now I know that many that listened to this message will probably say, he's just not tolerant, he's so unloving, he's so rigid, he's full of pride, he's got unconfessed sin in his life. You know, this is what I get when I try, whenever a person tries to stand up for the Bible, this is the kind of charges that are laid against him. You know, he's so vain, he's so proudful, he's so rigid, he's so unloving, he's so intolerant, he hates women, he this, he that. No, no. Now I want to just read some passages of scripture and I want to comment on them. And, you know, and let the word of God speak for itself. That's my only thing is, you know, if you don't like what I say, if you don't like me, if you don't like my bald head, if you don't like my style of delivery, if you don't like the fact that I'm drinking coffee while I'm doing the sermon, if you don't like my age, if you don't like my gender, if you don't like the color of my skin, if you don't even like the name of my church or where I live, that's all okay. That's fine. If you don't like my family, if you don't like my dog, Tulip, if you don't like my son, if you don't like my lovely wife, that's okay. No problem. But you do have a problem if you don't like the Word of God. There's a problem there. Big problem. And you know what? You take that up with your Creator. You don't even need to take that up with me. You take that up with Him. Okay, now I'm reading from Galatians, the first chapter. If you want to turn your Bibles and follow along with me. Galatians, the first chapter. And we're going to read the first verse down through the 12th verse. Galatians 1, 1 through 12. Paul. Now, I am going to stop and make some comments along the way. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I like that. Notice the parenthesis there? Not of men. Neither by man. I like that one too. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't the only one that was raised from the dead. Paul was raised from the dead. Did you know that? Paul was raised from the dead. He was spiritually dead. He was going one way on the road to Tarsus, and God knocked him off his horse. He fell on the ground, and he said, "Lord, Lord, why persecutest thou me?" No, is that what he said? No, that's what Christ said to him. Paul, Paul. People have it backwards. They have it backwards. Saul of Tarsus was in a dead state. He was dead. And this shining light came down and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, he was raised from the dead to spiritual life. "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." He didn't say free will be to you. He said grace be to you. From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace comes from both the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit's the one that draws the sinner to Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Notice he doesn't say he gave himself for the sins of the whole world, but he says he gave himself for our sins. And he doesn't say that he might deliver the whole world from the present evil, but he says he might deliver us from this present evil world. And he doesn't say according to the free will of man. He says according to the will of God and our Father. A lot in that verse. "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." I like that too. Not to man be glory. You know, there came a time when I had to pull over the side of the road and execute my free will and let Jesus into my heart. No, no. That's not what he says there. "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." But then, notice how he shifts to a different position here now. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." There were some there that were causing a problem, who he was talking to. There was some there that was causing a problem who he was talking to. And he said, "I marvel." That doesn't mean that he admired it. He was just amazed. He was amazed. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." What other gospel had they removed unto? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. It was a doctrine of works. None other than the doctrine of free will, really. Because any time anyone's relying upon their own works, that is free will doctrine. Which is not another, but there are some, he didn't say all of them were into this other gospel. There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, let's just throw a little curve in here to deceive everybody. Let's just infer that there are Arminian preachers and ministers out there that are in the same gospel we're in. Let's just make that inference. And let's just say, tell the whole Facebook audience and the world that, you know, oh, they were, you know, this guy was an itinerant Assembly of God minister all of his life. And he was more fruitful in his obedience and in his faith than I ever would. Produce more fruit and humility and faith. And there was another fellow out here that was an Arminian Baptist preacher, and he was more fruitful in his humility and obedience and faith than I ever was. And yeah, they both died. They were both in wrong doctrine. They were both in wrong doctrine. And they both, you know. There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, and that includes Assembly of Gods and Arminian Baptists, because they're perverting the gospel of Christ. And so that's any other gospel. Any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. As I said before you, before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Why do you think he pronounces this twice? He wanted to make the point very clear. I'm not going to put up with these people saying that people are that are Arminians, that are preachers, are preaching the same gospel that I'm preaching. For I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm not looking for, you know, all these people to like me on Facebook. That's not what I'm on there for. I don't care whether you like what I say or not. I could care less whether you like what I say or not. Go on there and unlike it. If I'm going by the Word of God, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. I certainly didn't receive the truth from men, I'll tell you that. 37 years I listened to these people and these false doctrines in the Arminian camp. And now all my relatives are still in it. You think I'm going to give them a pass? Or am I going to stand up for the truth? They're going to face God one of these days. And if they're trusting in their own merits of their own salvation and I haven't warned them, I'm going to be responsible. Neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go over to the third chapter of Galatians, just for a minute. And I want to read the first chapter down through the first verse down to the 14th verse. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus had been evidently set forth crucified among you? I find it interesting that Paul uses the term bewitched. Bewitched. That denotes the influence of Satan. Bewitched. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He sets forth a very clear boundaries here. On the one side he has works, on the other side he has faith. And you can't mix the two. They're like oil and water. They cannot be mixed. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by your free will? My interpretation. That's what the flesh is. Relying upon your own works. Relying upon your free will, which doesn't exist. If a person's dead in their trespasses and sin, they don't have a free will. Yeah, they have a will, but it's bound to Satan. Because they're dead in their trespasses and sin. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? reminds me of these faith healers, you know. I demand that you be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, really? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham blessed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? You can call me any kind of word you want to call me. You can call me a reprobate. You can call me proudful. You can call me a deceiver. You can call me, controversial, causing dissension among the brethren. I don't care what you call me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I am testifying of the word of God here. And it says, know ye therefore they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm proclaiming faith, and you're proclaiming people who were teaching the doctrine of Arminianism and free will are in the same gospel, and I'm saying they're not. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying that in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law and the Spirit of God is evident, for the just shall live by their free will, right? The just shall live by sitting under the ministry of an assembly of God minister for years and years and years. The just shall live by going to an Arminian Baptist church and listening to the hogwash that's put out. No. No. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. By faith, not by free will. And the law is not of faith, but that man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If we say that we trust in the imputed righteousness of Christ, how can we uphold teachers and preachers and saying that they are Christians who are upholding something totally contrary to that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. Through faith. It's faith versus free will, folks. Now, we're going to go down to Galatians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to look at the scriptures 16 through 31. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I know a lot of you hate my guts, and you think I'm your enemy, and actually I love you more than you realize, or I wouldn't be taking a stand for the truth. That's what love is, not just going along with somebody when there's, you know. I love the fact that Timothy pointed out some things that I can improve my little doctrinal positions on. I like that fact, Tim. Thank you. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Well, you're not telling me the truth. You're creating dissension among the brethren.
No, I'm telling you the truth, and you know it. You're just too proud to admit it. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. Go ahead. Make my day. Mark unfriend on Facebook. Go ahead. It is good to be zealously affected always, and a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. my little children of whom I prevail and travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he, the free woman, was by promise. Well, who's the bondwoman? Who was the one that was born after the flesh? The one that wants to take credit for their own salvation. The one that wants to deny sovereign grace. The one that wants to think that by the works of their own hands they can be justified. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which entered to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and the answer to Jerusalem, which is now is, and is bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. That's what you don't even realize it right now, but that's what you're doing to me, people. And you know who I'm talking to. You're persecuting me because I'm standing up for sovereign grace, and you were standing up for people who were promoting the gospel of the flesh. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't mix them together. We're not brethren. We're not children of the bondwoman. We're children of the free. That's what free grace is. Unconditional election. Now, finally, I want to look at about 8 verses in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Starting with the first verse, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of free will. Whoops, my take. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with Arminianism. That's what it is, yoke of bondage. Works. Upholding those who are upholding works doctrine. I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, if you're holding on to the doctrine of works and free will and Arminianism, you are holding on to the yoke of bondage. And if you're holding on to the work of bondage, what does Paul say? He says, I testify, verse 3, to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to hold on to Arminianism, you got to hold on to the whole law, my friend. You better go back into ceremonial law. You better start offering sacrifices again. Well, I think you can just go right into the dispensational camp and you'll have no problem with it at all. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That's what he says. He says you don't even have grace if you're holding on to Arminianism and free will. People say, well, you can't say that all Arminians are not. I can say that if they have been shown the truth of God contained in his word and are rejecting it and teaching something else, they're fallen from grace, according to Paul. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, Paul was very, very to the point, but he says he's loving, and I'm saying I'm loving, even if you don't want to accept the fact. Ye do run well who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So that's the message for this morning. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very angry over this message. And only God can get you over it. Only God can get you over it. If you're one of His, He'll get you over it. And realize that if you're out telling the whole world that those preaching another gospel, their whole lives, 20 years, 40 years, died in wrong doctrine, teaching works, were in the same gospel that you're in, and are Christians, and that you're going to see them in heaven. You're not God, by the way. Only God has the power to deliver soul into heaven or hell. But it's very, very wrong to promote false teaching and false teachers as being in the same gospel as the gospel of Christ. Father, we pray that you would take this message. We pray that you would use it for your glory. We ask in Christ's name. Do we have a final selection? Okay, we have a selection of page 184, Grace 'Tis a Charming Sound. And it is a charming sound. That's our only hope, is in God's completed work, not the works of man. Grace 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, and with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace displays, which drew the wondrous plan, grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet, while pressing on to God. Grace taught my soul to pray, and made mine eyes o'erflow. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise.